السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة، صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, brothers, if you look at the program title, Branding Your Brand, it's a very catchy phrase, and alhamdulillah, below that it was written lessons from the life of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the ways of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to study his life and his teachings had on the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And today we will discuss one such Sahabi and draw lessons from his biography. My talk today will be divided into four sections. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his biography, his wealth, his business acumen, and his relationship to wealth. So these are the four sections of our talk. And the reason I chose to discuss Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my beloved brothers, is that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu is perhaps the most successful businessman in the history of Islam. And he is also perhaps among the most wealthiest Muslim in the history of Islam. And there are amazing lessons from his biography. Regarding his biography, before we go on to the actual crux of our discussion, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam at the age of 30. He was born 10 years after the year of the elephants, meaning that he was 10 years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was the 8th person to accept Islam, and he accepted Islam at the hands and motivation and the invitation of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu is also among those very fortunate Sahaba or Sahabi that migrated to Habasha and had the fortune of migrating to Medina Munawwara. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu is among those Sahaba whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given the glad tidings of Jannah. He is among the Ashra Mubasharat. He was also among those whom Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu appointed among the 6 consultative people that had to decide on the next Khalifa after the demise of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abdul Rahman played an extremely significant role in deciding and bringing the Ummah onto the Khilaf of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the amazing ranks of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, beloved friends, we will be surprised that he is the only Sahabi. Regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there is a difference of opinion, but he is the only Sahabi behind whom Imam al-Anbiya performed his salah. meaning Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was an Imam of Imamul Anbiya. It establishes the nobility and the rank of this great Sahabi. On the occasion of Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went for some work and it was time for Salah. And the Sahaba were becoming uncomfortable that the time of Salah should not lapse. And all the Sahaba pointed towards Abdul Rahman ibn Auf that lead the Salah. It establishes his rank even among the Sahaba. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf goes and performs the Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam returns from whatever he went to do and he missed one unit of Salah, one rak'ah of Salah. After the Salah, when the Imam made the Salam and Rasulullah stood up to complete his Salah, there was this discomfort among the Sahaba. Did we do right? Should we not have waited for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And subhanallah, you know the seerah, the compassion, the character, the attribute, the influence of Rasulullah is so profound. After Rasulullah stood up and completed his Salah, observing the discomfort among the Sahaba, some were reciting Subhanallah, some were saying Astaghfirullah. Subhanallah, Rasulullah said, Ahsanta, you guys did well. So Abdul Rahman is that Sahabi who was the Imam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Regarding his worth, you know, we can continue on his biography, but as I said, there's four sections of my talk. Regarding the worth of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the fact that I said he was among the most successful businessmen in the history of Islam, among the most wealthiest Muslim in the history of Islam. It is said that at the time of his death, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu left behind 4 wives, 20 children, sons, and 8 daughters. The gold bars that had to be distributed among his heirs, meaning his wives and children, was so huge that they had to take a hatchet to break it into pieces to distribute to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf's family. He left behind 1,000 camels, 100 horses, 300 goats, and in today's time, the value of that we can calculate approximately 15 million rands. But let's carry on. Subhanallah. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his will, had decreed and willed that every surviving participant of the Battle of Badr, who were at that time 100 surviving participants of the Battle of Badr, that each of the 100 surviving participants of the Battle of Badr must be given 400 dinars each. Now, my beloved friends, when we sometimes hear dinars and dirham, we just take it as a form of currency. The form of currency at that time was dinars and dirham. Dinar meaning gold, dirham meaning silver. But to put it in context, for us to understand his worth, one dinar is equivalent to approximately 4.5 grams of gold. And that 4.5 grams of gold in today's time is equivalent to approximately 10,000 rands. Now 10,000 rands divided times 400 dinars for each participant makes it 40 million. Times 100 of the surviving, 400 million rands. And knowing that your inheritance you can only give up to 1/3 for those who are not heirs. understand the value of this great Sahabi. He also gave 5,000 dinars, which is approximately 40 million rands, to all the orphans and widows of Madinatul Munawwara. He sold a piece of land for 4,000 dinars, and after selling that land, he had said that the entire proceeds of that land must be given to the Banu Zahra family, which was the family of the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When that money came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she asked, where did this come from? And it was said to her, it is from Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Subhanallah, she said, may Allah grant him from the spring of Salsabil in Jannah. Abdurrahman ibn Auf took upon himself to see to the needs of every wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He also took it upon himself that he would travel every year for Hajj with the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to see to the needs of all his wives. You know, the catalogue continues and the amounts are just astounding. Just is this a brief glimpse of the worth of this great Sahabi, Abdurrahman ibn ta'ala an. So we've discussed a little of his biography. I've given you a glimpse of the worth of this great Sahabi. What was the secret of his business acumen? The astute entrepreneurship of this great. So, when Abu radiallahu ta'ala anhu migrates from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, he had with him very little. He comes to Medina, and in the beautiful approach that Rasulullah adopted for the Muhajireen, those that migrated from Makkah to Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam paid the fraternity of brotherhood between the Muhajireen and the Ansar of Madinatul Munawwara. And this was also done in a very, subhanallah, it was not done haphazard. It was done with great wisdom and skill, understanding the temperaments of each one that Rasulullah was pairing the fraternity with. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf's fraternity was paired with Sa'd ibn Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an influential Ansari and a very wealthy Ansar, Sahabi of Madinatul Munawwara. And due to the spirit of generosity and developing the brotherhood of the Muslim early community, Sa'd ibn Rabi'a tells Abdurrahman ibn Auf, oh my beloved brother, I am among the wealthiest people of Medina. I have two orchards and I have two wives. At that time the laws of hijab were not yet revealed. And he says to him, I will vacate one of my orchards. You take that orchard and you start your life in Medina. And I will divorce one of my wives. You choose which one of my wife you want, and you marry my wife. Subhanallah, you know, the Sahaba were not the type of people that were always waiting for handouts. They made an effort to develop themselves. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes a dua, and he says to his brother Sa'd ibn Rabi'a, may Allah bless you in your wealth. May Allah bless you in your family. Keep your wealth, your orchard. You maintain your families. I do not want to be a burden to you. However, show me the market and show me the route to the markets of Medina. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf goes to the markets of Medina. And in the markets of Medina in those years, the Ansar of Medina were primarily farmers, agriculturists. And the people that were engaged in business in Medina were the Jewish community, the Yahud. And we know of their approach in business. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf goes to Medina's market, and the commodities that were on sale in Medina was clothing, food, wheat, barley, butter, perfume and utensils. Abdurrahman ibn Auf goes to the market of Medina, and for a few weeks he goes into the market in the mornings, he returns in the evening. You would wonder, why is he doing this? Subhanallah, this was the business acumen and the entrepreneurship of this great Sahabi. The purpose of going to Medina was to do a market research, a market analysis. Is this common to today's ways of doing business before entering a business environment? Subhanallah. A business analysis. Customer profile. The types of commodities that are selling. The profile of the businessmen in the markets of Medina. Their habits of selling. The habits of people. The needs of people. And after doing a thorough business analysis, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu decides that he is going to venture, you know, we talk of venture capital, so he is going to venture into a business. And the business that he decided to go into was that I am going to sell butter. Some of our Wollaton families may be very happy going into butter and oil. So he's going to sell butter. He's going to do it on a very small scale and only on butter and nothing else. So you ask yourself, what was the wisdom of Abdurrahman ibn Auf in choosing this? Only butter on a small scale. So the reason that it was butter was that butter is a food commodity. It's a need. In times of economic instability, people will always be in need of needs, and they will not go towards luxuries and comforts. So whatever I will do in this new business environment, my business will always have customers because I'm dealing in something that's a need. Subhanallah. Why only one commodity? So that I can focus and concentrate on quality. So if I have quality, then I am building my brand. And in the process, I'm going to do it on a way so that I am not a threat to the multinationals of Medina. The Jewish community will not look at me as a competitor. So whilst I am establishing my brand and my customer base, I am not going to be seen as a competitor for the multinationals that are dealing in Medina. And it will give me an ability to develop my brand. And what was that brand of Abdurrahman ibn Auf? Quality, integrity and kindness. That's the Muslim business brand. My beloved friends, think back, if I am in business, is that my business brand? Quality, integrity and kindness. Once he built and established this brand of his, subhanallah, whatever he touched, he himself says turned into gold. He thereafter was involved in the business of cattle, camels, horses, saddlery, real estate, and whatever was required in Medina, he used to import and export whatever was in excess. And because he was able to build that brand, people from all over the Middle East, Syria, they heard of the brand of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, that if we deal with him, we will be successful in our businesses. In the last few moments, my beloved friends, his attachment to wealth. We've mentioned about all his charity, and I will conclude just with one or two incidents. It is said that one day he was fasting and a plate of food was brought before him. And he looked at the food and he began weeping. And he said, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was far superior than me. When he passed away, he did not even have a cloth to cover his body. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu was far superior than me. When he left this world, he did not have sufficient to cover his body for his kafan. And he looked at the food, he cried. Although he was fasting, he was unable to eat. And he got up, crying profusely and saying, Oh Allah, do not take me for task for the bounties that you have provided me for. Another incident. It is said that on one day, there were 700 camels, a caravan of 700 camels that entered into Medina. And on the outskirts of Medina, there was this rumbling noise of the camels and the dust going up into the air. And the people of Medina run out, children, adults, women, all running out. What is this rumble that's coming into Madinatul Munawwara, a relatively calm city? And it was said to them, this is the caravan of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, 700 camels laden with merchandise. It is said that when the first camel entered Medina city and when it left the boundary of Medina, that is when the last camel entered Medina. That was how long that caravan was. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, hearing this, asks, what is happening? What's this rumble in Medina? And they said to her that this is the caravan of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf laden with merchandise. It is said that the narrator narrates that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha looked into the distant, into the heavens, as if though she is recalling a statement or an incident. And she said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf will be entering Jannah, crawling into Jannah for giving account for the bounties that Allah had granted him. Someone runs to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and says to him, Mother Aisha has just narrated this hadith. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf leaves his place. He runs to the house of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he says to her, Ya Amma, O my beloved mother, tell me that hadith. For I heard that hadith myself. And daily I recall that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding myself. Relate that hadith to me, O mother. And when Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that hadith, he says to her, O my beloved mother, bear witness, O my beloved mother, the entire caravan of merchandise of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, I am giving it in the residence of Madinatul Munawwara. And it was a celebration and a festival of charity. And he said, I also desire to enter Jannah like my other companions. He has absolutely no attachment to that wealth. My beloved friends, I conclude. For many of our young, up-and-coming youth that are studying in various fields, professional fields, our as a Muslim, and in the environment that we are living in, the hostile environment towards Islam and the Muslims, we need to be successful in every field that we enter into, be it in our educational, be it in our business fields. And if we wish to do that, we need to build the Muslim brand in order to be successful. And the Muslim brand is the brand of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, quality life, integrity and kindness. That was his success. If we adopt that brand, inshallah, thumma inshallah, we can also draw inspiration from the beautiful teachings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that had a profound impact on every sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.